Welcome to Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Robert.
And I'm Ruthann.
And we'll be your host for the next hour. In this show, we're going to talk about energy, particularly negative energy, although that's not necessarily a positive topic, but I think we'll try to make it into one. And before we start, I'd like to take a moment to remind you of the various ways you can listen to our show. They're available 24 hours after we air on BBS Radio. On iTunes, you can search Well-Rounded Corners, or you can go to our website, wellroundedcorners.com. You can catch us on BBS Radio Archives or live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio. And Ruthann, I wanted to start with a little story. It's like story time here.
That but works. No.
Well, I've been hearing, I heard an excellent podcast, and it got me to thinking about sort of my own path to how I became more aware and awakened. And I want to just briefly share that. I shared a little bit of it in our first show, but I'd like to go into just a smidge more detail. Essentially, I really didn't think about how things worked or how spirituality worked or anything like that until, I'd say until about 5 years ago. You know, as a kid, I always read and paid attention to things like I was even interested in UFOs and space and all that. But I really didn't get interested in alternative topics until about 5 years ago. And ironically, a lot of what brought me in was some completely unrelated stuff related to conspiracy and whatnot. And I've heard this path many times before from people. It seems to be a pretty common path. And when you do some research and you start looking at how things work, how things come about to be, you start finding about how our society works and how, you know, things kind of work behind the scenes. But then you'll invariably stumble upon or stumble across someone giving some spiritual information. And I don't mean spiritual in terms of religious. I mean just information on becoming more aware, meditation, you know, remote viewing, astral projection, healing, all these different kinds of modalities. And ironically, I think I had to kind of delve into the game, if you will, you know, the way things are kind of controlled in order to end up at a place where none of it really mattered. And I got to see how things kind of worked behind the scenes. And of course, you know, it's a path that everybody follows for themselves. There is no one way. And if somebody tells you there is one way, you might want to check that out and look a little more into it. But everybody has their own path. And I just wanted to share mine because, you know, 5 years ago, when I started looking into conspiracies, I would have never doubted. If you'd have told me that I would have been into you know, meditation, that I would be a Reiki master, that I would be a, you know, into metaphysics and spirituality. If you told me any of that, I probably would have laughed. And I just wanted to take a moment and share that because from what I've heard, there's a lot of people that have very similar stories. It's almost as though it's sort of a gateway into, you know, one path into spiritual awakening. So I just wanted to share that. And, you know, Ruthann, I think maybe it'd be a good time to kind of maybe, I know we discussed this in the previous show, but maybe share a little bit of your story too in regards to that. And I think it'll tie in with what we're going to talk about.
Well, I started out in science as far as my education, and I actually got a degree as a biology teacher. So obviously, I mean, I was not into, I can't say that I didn't always have an open mind, but I had to have proof basically for most things. I would not have ever thought in a million years that I would be sitting here as a Reiki master. With a Reiki practice and teaching Reiki, I wouldn't have thought that I would have done shamanic work, which I do sometimes. I wouldn't have thought that I would have some people sometimes asking me to pull a card for them and see what I got. I wouldn't have thought that I'd be talking about collective unconscious and hey, like as you said, astral projection and I'm still very fascinated. I also have a background in psychology and I think that really tied in with the biology in that I realized, for one thing, as my religious persuasions were changing, I realized that there's a lot more to humans than the physical body. And I didn't really find it in the traditional religions that I took part in. And I also didn't find it all in psychology. It seemed like there was another layer there that I felt like, traditional practice of medicine was missing. And since that was sort of where I came from, I used to work in a pathology lab and used to assist with autopsies. And so, see, I've seen all the aspects of humans and I've come from the physical body, the psychological aspects, educational aspects, and religious aspects, sociological aspects. And there was a link that was always kind of missing to me that just didn't seem tied together. And then when I was introduced to Reiki and other energy healing modalities, and I realized that my path wasn't a traditional path as far as teaching in a school, in a traditional school, even though I did it really enjoy it, or in a traditional, in any of the religions or churches that I had grown up in. And so when I was introduced to energy work, I felt, and I remember feeling a very distinct clink, like that puzzle piece fell into place. And over the years since then, it's just been, I have that confirmed all the time. I deal with a lot of clients who've been in therapy and are still in therapy, and I think it's a wonderful thing. They go to their traditional medicine doctors. Sometimes they have Chinese medicine, acupuncturists, chiropractors. Of course, many of them go to church. So they're getting other, I guess you could call them all therapies of one type or another. But I find that what really helps is to also get the energy that's stuck on us off. And that's what's the rest of the healing puzzle in my mind. And that's what I see every day in my practice. And when I can teach students to be empowered and that they can balance their own bodies and their minds and their souls and spiritual lives, and they're empowered to heal themselves. And I'm not saying you should never see a doctor, of course, and I'm not saying nobody should go to church, but that's my point. We all have a different path, and if one person's works one way and another works another way, then that's the joy of it. I can empower my clients to have faith in their own balance and healing, and then when they see their doctor, they go in with more confidence. They go in knowing exactly what they need traditional medicine to do, and then they'll take care of the rest. And the Reiki will take care of the rest. They'll take care of the rest. I am such a far cry from where I started out. It just amazes me. As you said, I never would have thought I'd be sitting here saying what I just said, because when someone said astrology, I said, no, astronomy, that's the science. Astrology is the, as you've said before, woo-woo thing. Mm-hmm. And, who can prove that? That's silly.
All right.
But you know what? Then I learned more about it. And actually, I'm at a point in my life where I don't really care if the label is correct in a way. I don't really care whether it's called alternative, whether it's called, if something works for people and it makes sense, then I don't care particularly whether this label makes sense to it or not. And I find that there are many other supposedly pseudosciences that have some legitimacy. Now, do I plan everything I do by my horoscope? No. But I have to say the numerology reports I've had done by friends, Rachel that we had on here a few weeks ago, and she'll be coming back to talk about astrology and numerology in an upcoming show. And, she taught me, she showed me my chart, my birth chart, and I was just floored. It is me to a T.
Right.
It is not you or my children who or my two girls who were born very close to me in birthday. It wasn't them, it was me. So
right.
I, as a scientist, what can I say? No, that makes no sense. So I can't believe it because it's labeled astrology. No.
Right. Absolutely. It's very interesting that, you mentioned astrology and astronomy, and I want to talk about that a moment. I always considered astronomy the true science as well.
Mm-hmm.
Astronomy is a science of observing what we see and what we can observe through instruments and whatnot in our universe. But, in terms of astrology, I think it makes a lot more sense in a lot of ways because it doesn't try to answer what's out there. Instead, it tries to answer. And I don't mean just that. A lot of these metaphysical modalities, they try to answer not what's out there, but what's inside. How does the inner workings of things? How does that work? And that's what I think motivates me more. I'm going to give an example. It's going to relate to current events, but that's not exactly what I'm in the end will refer to, but. Say, for example, you could watch the Republican and the Democratic parties go at each other, or you can watch two sports teams go at each other. There's always some kind of polarity out there, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get behind one and root for it, and this is my team.
Right.
Let's get this done. And it just seems to me that this is like the first step. And trying to change, to make some change, to understand how things, you get in that. And then at some point you may or you may not, if it's on your path, you dig a little deeper and then you kind of go past that abstraction. You get to another layer of abstraction where you see how the behind the scenes of these things. And then if you keep on going, you'll see how even the previous two layers don't really, they're just an abstraction and abstraction. And so, I've heard literally people say things like, and this ties into something we talked about with Rachel, what happens if the dollar collapses? I hear this. And let's just pretend that it did, for example. I don't think that would delete from existence any bag of rice or any supermarket, or any barrel of water, I think we'll still be here. And I think, that's just an abstraction. And that's an abstraction at a very physical level. And I think there's even spiritual abstractions in regards to, different things that we deal with spiritually. But I think a lot of us, and I think if you're listening to the show, you're probably on a very similar quest to get to the bottom, to get to the core, and to find it, for lack of a better word, the innermost workings of how things work. And maybe not, you may not care about how it works. You may want to, participate things at that core level. But either way, you have to go through so many abstractions. It's so easy to get sidetracked. And I just want to add this too. There's one layer that you will get sidetracked on, and undoubtedly I think we've all been there, where you want to convince everybody around you that your path, what you're doing, is the most amazing thing in the world, and why would you not join it?
Yes.
And it's a trap that everybody gets in when you go through this, and you eventually move past it. And
hopefully, some do, some don't.
I think a lot eventually do. I mean, they're either going to get past it because they're going to spiritually move on from it, or they're going to move past it because everybody's tired of hearing them. So either way, But of course, it's the people that you're talking to. It's not their path. Of course, if they want to, if they ask you questions or if they need your help, that's a different thing, of course. But I just wanted to mention that, and I think it relates not only to my path, but a lot of others' paths that I've heard of, and just how we get down to the nitty gritty. And I never would have thought that, for example, you mentioned, again, mentioned astrology and astronomy. I never would have thought that astronomy is just a layer of abstraction on astrology. I always would have thought it'd been the other way around, but I'm finding more that it's not. It's actually, you know, there's actually deeper levels and even deeper beyond that.
Well, and it really just goes to show us all that, you know, when we were 20 or 15 or whatever, you know, we knew so much more than we do now. I mean, teenagers many times feel they do know everything. And I'm not criticizing teenagers. It's just that the more life experience you get, hopefully the more wisdom you get to realize that, oh, you know what? I don't have all the answers. I may never have a lot of them. And I'm just going to keep learning what I can. But you know what? I don't have to be right all the time. I just have to be the best I can with doing what I can. I mean, it's funny you brought up the talking about needing to be the one right path. I have no idea why. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, but I sometimes visit a religion forum and I browse the news and see the political forums. I take that back. I do not go to political forums. It hurts too much because there's so much meanness. No, I mean, like news stories, the comments. Mm-hmm. And I'm just always amazed at, you know, at how everyone is right. And it doesn't even matter what party you're in. It doesn't matter what religion you're in.
My sports team from right. My hometown is better than your sports team.
Right. I can spit a sunflower seed farther than you can. I mean, seriously. And there is so much competition to be on the right path, have the right party, have the right church, have the right everything. And that is really disturbing to me because, okay, so what if you do? Well, that's cool. So you have to prove everyone else on the planet wrong? I mean, what does that do for anybody?
I think it's just part of the game. I think it's just,
but then,
you know.
What about the next day when you realize, you know, when you mature a little or when you change your mind and you say, you know, it's really too bad I was so arrogant and hateful to everyone because, geez, you know, I might not have been right after all, even though I just knew I was yesterday.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that happens as much as maybe you think. I mean, whenever you participate at things in that level and you're fighting with people about minutia, really like that, it can be, you know, you get very anxious and you know, you get very, anxious is not really the right word, but you just get very tense about when you just, you know, because you're filled with all this energy. I know I'm right. I got to prove it. It's almost like you're straining, and it's
actually exhausting.
It is, yeah, it is. But I think that's, but you know, some people are stuck in that pattern. I don't know that. You know, it would not be karmically wise for us to try to break them out of it. And I think, because who's to say we have the right way? You know, I'm pretty sure that staying on edge like that is not the way that humans need to go. But
well, here's the problem I see with being the right one. I mean, having the right path. Well, if there are billions of people on this planet, and let's say we only have a million who are talking about a particular subject. It doesn't even matter what we're talking about. Now, you've got what, a million opinions? Okay, well, if I'm right, that must mean that all the rest of you are either lying about your opinion or what your facts are, or you are totally clueless. Or maybe there's more than one answer. Who needs to be the only right one? Why? Because if I'm right, that means everyone else has to be wrong if I'm the only one right, if I've told myself that. And that's a truly unfortunate, in my opinion, way to live, because how can you learn from others if you already know all the answers? And we don't.
Yeah, well, you know, that's sort of an orchestrated thing anyway. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people just kind of regurgitate what they hear. And I mean, well, humans a lot of times think in a consensus way. I mean, so even in the metaphysical world, the quote unquote more enlightened people, you know, for whatever, however you want to term that, they operate under the same things. I mean, you know, but unfortunately, consensus speak is very, and think is very, dangerous when it involves so much negativity. I think you can really start. I think these things are deliberately started, but I think that the problem is we have to live with the, you know, we can say we're above it. We can be above it, but it's still below us and we still have to deal with it. And at least in as much as that, I mean, you know, you do have to live. You can't completely ignore everything.
True.
Now ignoring politics, ignoring, arguments and things like that's probably a good idea, but at some point some of it is going to impact your life, and I think that's a real challenge point to people as to how can you deal with this stuff, keep your sanity, keep your, you know, vibrational awareness from dipping into that, but yet deal with it in a way that is positive and doesn't pick up all that negativity.
Well, you know, one thing I've been working on with my younger children is that, especially one of them, she is very quick-witted. You know, she's a very bright girl, and she is, you can see on her face when you're talking to her that she is already way ahead of you and already has an answer for the next thing. You know, she already has what she's going to say in mind, and she does not hear a word you say. And I keep trying to explain to her that, you know, I'm going to let her talk. She's going to let me talk. We're having a conversation. But if she's so busy but planning her next argument, you know, not argument, but her next point or her next, you know, whatever she needs, just needs to tell me. And I'll say, you know, what did I just say? Did you hear me? And she'll just smile because she says, no, actually, I didn't hear a word you said. And I see people do that all the time. And the energy that's put out when we do that, it's like being bombarded with someone else's energy because they are way over the boundary. You know, and it is hard sometimes when you're really excited about something or you're very passionate about it, not to say, well, wait, let me tell you, you know, no, listen, this is, and really the reality is that we all have a point of view, and mine is no more important or no more, you know, it's no more right than anybody else's particularly. It's my point of view. And, you know, we hear people say all the time, there are facts. These facts, I know this to be a fact. And what's funny about facts is they seem to change over the years. You know, it used to be a fact. You know, remember that old thing about the earth and the sun and who went around what? I mean, it used to be a fact, they thought. And now what? Now we laugh and we say, no, that's not true. And it hasn't been for a long time. Well, it never was, but we just didn't know it. So I think we have to keep an open mind in the first place.
And even when we assume stuff like the sun is at this center of the solar system,
I mean, who knows?
We probably still need to keep an open mind. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not claiming that the sun is not in the center of the solar system, but you know
something we don't know.
But no. But I can tell you with all certainty, and I think everybody listening would agree and would believe me when I say that I have not been to the sun, and I cannot say for 100% sure that it is. So, you know,
and
I
you
mean,
might get just a little too warm if you got too close. We might not hear from you.
Exactly. So, you know, it is very, we do have to keep in mind that it is not always possible to verify, you know, the facts. And especially when you talk about something like politics or religion, I mean, and those are just two examples.
Right.
You're talking about subjective things. I mean, there is no way to completely be objective about that. And I mean, obviously, if people would argue the facts as they see them instead of, you know, attacking, then these conversations would probably be more civil. But of course, 90% of that is attacking, and that's a shame. But see, that's the energy trap. That's the energy vortex. You know, if you're gonna trap energy, it's away from you.
Right.
It'd be better to trap it amongst two people arguing with themselves. And it sounds like, I mean, that's what it looks like to me going on. And you know, so let the people argue. I mean, there's nothing that we can do. It may disrupt it. You know, it may disturb us that we see that going on. But there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing going to change it. You know, it's what else can we do? You know, I mean, we just have to let it go on and just hope that perhaps that the people involved in, you know, will kind of, you know, at some point be able to work it out. you know, and this actually we're coming up on a break here, but just before we come back, there was before we go, I wanted to talk with you, Ruthann, about coincidences. And I know that we're on the subject of energy here, but I think these tie together because I'm not a big fan of believing that there are truly just coincidences. I think everything's interconnected, and these interconnections amongst people seems to be how the energy travels the most, both negative and positive. And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit when we get back, and how that relates to what how these negative energies can feed back on each other, sort of like. They say going viral. I think negativity can go viral too.
Oh, and it comes right off the YouTube. It comes right off the videos and the posts and it comes right off of it. As far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system, and Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as the Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. Robert and I were talking before the break about energy and positive, negative energy. We talk about that a lot here on this show. And I believe before the break, Robert was mentioning something about coincidence, Robert.
Yes, it was a coincidence that I mentioned the coincidence. But no,
there's no such thing as coincidence, you know.
Well, I used to believe there was, and now I don't. And I think we talked about that before at some point. But I said the coincidences are the pathways or very common pathways that energy travels through. And what I meant by that is that both negative and positive energy, I feel, can pass through these coincidences. I kind of see coincidences as links in the spiritual medium. And I don't mean medium in the sense of someone that talks to the dead. I mean medium in terms of the fabric, that we all are players upon. I think that coincidences link us together in ways we don't expect, and they're sort of random connections that, they're not random, but they seem random to us, connections that energy can travel through. Just like imagine a switchboard, and imagine an operator, those old-timey ones where the operators had to plug in the different things, and imagine the operator just plugging in random things, and all came through just a bunch of different times. You know, everybody, you know, gets connected. They didn't mean to be. That would be a coincidence. And I think energy travels in these pathways, because let's just say, you know, you meet someone surely by accident, but they end up to be someone that's been very influential in your life. I've had that happen. I'm sure most people have. Mm-hmm. That is a pathway to me of where positive energy comes in and influences your life through that connection. And I think the same thing can unfortunately happen with negative
Absolutely.
Energy. And so that's what I meant by that. I just wanted to clarify that a little more. We were going to break and I didn't have time, but definitely I think those coincidences can be definite ways that you know, either positive or negative energy can mm-hmm. come to life.
Right. And I think sometimes we forget how one little decision or comment or act or even sometimes a thought on our end, or this goes for anybody, how it can affect so many people and so many things. I mean, so many events. I mean, you take a person, let's just say a person who has decided to blow up a building. Well, sounds like a big, you know, a big thing, but really, what does that come down to? Was that something to do with his great-grandparents who taught the parents or the grandparents something? One thing that changed their lives, that made them change what they taught him, one decision. You know, he may not have ever become whoever he has become if he had heard something different, or if he had had some, you know, this is going to sound extreme, but seriously, how many times have we in our lives come across someone who has given us a smile or a positive thought or has taught us something that we needed to know that really made a difference in our lives? It could be a teacher in school, a parent, a friend. And really, you know, we just really don't know what the ripples are going to be when we when we communicate with someone, or what we tell ourselves for that matter. And so I think, we're coming up this next week on the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And you know, just think so far back, maybe an ancestor of someone said something that changed the course of life of the next generation. And I know I sound like I'm way out on a limb here, but seriously, sometimes it really does take one man halfway across the world with an idea, or one man in your neighborhood who says, you know what, I'm tired of not having a stop sign on this corner. Let's do something about it. And it sounds like, well, what can we do about it? Who would listen to us? But it's a bunch of one people, one persons, or however you would say that. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, that, and I think, it's so hard to determine sometimes what is a legitimate coincidence and what is planned coincidences. And what I mean by that is that I feel that sometimes there are a lot of negative barriers and roadblocks and thought patterns that are out there, you know, sort of fear programming that sort of can derail us. And I think sometimes you can have coincidences that, you know, can become disruptive. And one thing that I do when I run across one of those, they're hard to spot. In fact, you may not see it. But one thing you could ask, you know, if this is something, if someone comes into your life all of a sudden and you know, there's a lot of change, one thing it might be or something that you see creates a lot of change, it might be interesting to ask, and I've done this before myself, is this something, you know, what is the, is this something that's going to further my spiritual development or further my awakening or, you know, discovering who I am more? Or is this something that's going to pull me in a different direction that feel, you know, what is your feeling about it? Is it something that somebody wants you to do, or is it something you want to do yourself? And that's a really hard time. Does it appeal to your ego? Or does it appeal to your spirit? That's a really hard determination.
That's a really hard sometimes to know.
I mean,
think of how many of those times I've talked about, you know, I talked about a minute ago, how many were someone who is a let's say normal, whatever that means, you know, guy going about his life, and then he talks to somebody who he just happens to hear a 5-minute talk or runs into somebody on the street who says, you know, man, I'm sick of this. What are we going to do about it? that. Let's go break in and steal the, you know, his whole life changes. That wasn't what he thought of necessarily, and what he might have done under normal other circumstances. Mm-hmm. But as you said, that's not furthering anything for him except a criminal record, you right. know, and you know,
and harming losing, someone, you know, yeah,
right,
yeah.
losing yeah. his job, his family, his life, you know, he could get shot. I mean, and so is that, but on the other hand, then, you know, he does have a choice in that. Does he go toward the spiritual development or the moral development or whatever you want to call it, where he says, you know what, that's wrong?
Well, yeah, to me, I kind of have to, I mean, this is something I found. I say, okay, is my ego more excited about this, or is my spiritual side more excited about this? And it's really hard to tell the difference, and mainly because your ego is so good at impersonating your spiritual side, you know, but you have to see what it, you know, am I doing this for recognition, you know, some kind of external gratification, or am I doing this for... you know, something that I really feel strongly about that I think will really help others.
Right. And yes, you know. And, you know, a good way to look at that too is exactly what you just said. And how would my grandchildren look back at me at this, you know, about this? Would they be proud of me for this, or would they think, what was he thinking? You know, that's another barometer we can use. I don't mean you have to go around thinking what would everyone else think. But on the other hand,
well, my great grandchildren really appreciate it if I buy this candy bar and this vending machine right now. No, yeah, I know. Well, you can get buried down in that too. But at the same time, just the smallest of things sometimes. You know, I mean, I mean, it's funny. You know, just little tiny different little tiny. I'll hear something. You know, I listen to a lot of talk radio podcasts, and sometimes, and I'll always be doing it when I'm working or something. And you know, it's funny too when you're working sometimes and you listen to that. Sometimes you pick up parts of it and you don't.
Well, I start typing what they're saying. So
yeah. But no, you know, sometimes I've queued up a podcast and I'm like, I've never really heard that person. I don't know about this. And you hear about, like, you know, 5 minutes, you're like, I don't know. I don't think I really. The same could apply to a television show or any kind of thing like that. Sure. And
reading a book.
But
yeah.
But then you realize why you took that chance, and you're like, wow, I really got some information from this. Mm-hmm. Or wow, I really, you know. And so the ego part of you is like saying, gosh, I don't want to be bored by this. But mm-hmm. there's a spiritual connection to what you chose to do, in my opinion, that led you to it, and that's a safe case where you just kind of have to write out that your ego giving you a little negative dialogue, and then you'll end up with something that you were, gosh, I don't want to say supposed to have heard or supposed to have
that
done.
You needed. That you,
yeah,
that
was, I mean, that's such a tough thing.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the teenager who believes he or she knows more than the parents, and in some cases, she or he might. But anyway, hard to believe.
Either way, they're right.
From a parental standpoint. But, yeah. But what I mean is, yeah, I mean, but really, sometimes what the teens have to say, the parents do need to hear. And sometimes it's vice versa, hard for the teens to accept that. But it goes to all of us. I mean, I may not like someone telling me, you know, the way you're doing that isn't working. I may resent that ego part that you were talking about. But on the other hand, if that's going to make a positive difference in my life, if I change something, that was something that I needed to hear. And now I will say I've seen a lot of people use trying to help people as an excuse to say something nasty. And that's not what I'm talking about. But yeah, so
that's the ego. That's self-justification via the ego, and that, you know, that's.
But sometimes hearing something we hadn't thought of, I mean, that's really why we socialize. Mm-hmm. You know, if I don't want to sit and talk to myself for the rest of my life with no input from anyone else, I mean, now that'd get boring after a while, you know.
You always agree with yourself.
Well,
you know, most of the time,
supposedly, I do. So I have told myself off a few times, but I mean,
right. I mean,
and that makes me think of, you know, all the things that are going on in the world today, and those little ripples that we create and that we see. I mean, think of, okay, elections. all it takes sometimes is a rumor one person started, and it doesn't have to be true, doesn't have to have anything to do with anything real, and that can change the whole course of an election. Or as I was just was thinking, I saw on TV a few minutes ago before we started talking here, how a presidential candidate spells the word potato. You know, he puts an E at the end, and everybody thinks he's stupid. And that really wasn't the whole story, but even if it is, my point is something that seems inconsequential has sometimes really huge ripples, and we may not ever even see what they are.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree. I mean, there's a lot of leeway in what we can do to affect positive change, and what we can do to affect positive change for ourselves. And I say this because I think that there's a big difference in, and this is where we really have to listen, you know, is this ego, is this spiritual? You can better yourselves, or you can better others. If you can do both of those things at the same time, that's great. But if what you're doing is a completely self-servicing thing, or even if it's brought about by a coincidence, I mean, can we all live completely, you know, in service to others? No, it's not possible. But at least I
don't know that it would be completely healthy anyway.
Right. But at the same time, though, I mean, you know, a lot of people, like you mentioned, somebody saying, you know, saying something to someone and thinking they're helping them, but really they just were getting in a dig or whatever, you know. And that would be an example to me where I think, you know, the person really needs to look at themselves and say, well, you know, is that something that, you know, I was motivated by ego to say, or is that something that I was spiritually motivated to say? And I bet if there was some sort of negative response or negative reaction, and if there was any sort of, see, the ego, it can manifest itself in so many ways, and it can be so hard to see through. But I think if you can see through its true intent. Maybe, and I guess that takes a long time, but, you know, if you can do that, then you can really figure out exactly how to affect positive change in your life and in others, of course, in compatibility with their path, you know, and that's
what the trick is.
You don't want to trample on other people's.
And that's what I think the problem begins to be sometimes, is that, you know, when we get in the mindset that it's my duty to inform this person and correct their ways, you know, seriously, no one appointed
any of us. And that statement
in
of itself, what you just said, you can tell that that's.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's what I do is I'm a member of a couple of message boards and or forums, I should say. And I tell you, and not the religious forum, this is just a group, you know, it's just a general group anyway. What I try to do when I post something, the same thing I try to do, and I'll be honest, sometimes in my real life, I'm not as good at this as I'd like to be, is to think before I say something, you know, is this going to make someone's life better, or is this going to just not, you know? And if it's not contributing to the conversation in a positive way, then it's kind of like that old saying that everybody always attributes to everybody's mother: if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
Right.
And you know, it's just amazing how easy it is to fall off that wagon. And this brings me to all the things that are going on in the world. You know, we've had hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and the combinations of all of them, and earthquakes and then hurricanes and then floods and tornadoes. It's been kind of disturbing to me. I've seen and heard and read so many comments that I just, my mouth drops open. I totally get, you know, that there are all kinds of behind the scenes things going on, and that everybody has political, you know, political views, and I get that. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about it just kind of hurts my heart in a way when I see so-and-so has died or so-and-so has suffered, and you'll hear people say some of the most hateful things back. Well, what are you doing out there? Well, they right. shouldn't have done that. And my thought is, when you put so many people together saying so many things like that, what does it do to the energy of the planet? What does it do? I mean, that has to come together, and that can't be good, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think humans, you know, I think, and sometimes we bring the worst out in each other. And I'm not so sure that, I don't know if that's exactly related to or not. You know, I think in terms of the physical changes and whatnot, and the things that, you know, the increase in earthquakes and all these, you know, disasters going on. I mean, in some respect, they've always gone on. The reporting of it has just changed. You know,
I was going to say,
it's made it, you know, I mean, and we have a channel dedicated to weather. And so, therefore, the weather is a much a bigger deal now. You know,
and we have sites that only list earthquakes.
Right. Absolutely.
And,
yeah. So
I get that.
But I think any person after examining the evidence would say, well, there is an uptick in all this. And I don't know if it's I kind of personally believe this is sort of just a cycle. So I don't, you know, and I think we're going through a change. So I don't,
but I don't know
that it's related, but I will, but you know what? I mean, if there's a ton of negative energy floating around, how could it even if the negative energy didn't create it, then how could our petty negative things, how could they possibly help it?
Well, see,
you know,
that's,
I mean,
what I'm, that's
or help others get through it.
It just, you know, sometimes when I read a news story or I hear people talking about some disaster or shootings or whatever, especially the natural disasters, I think, though. The shootings, I get why there would be a lot
of
it.
I think a lot of those are really trumped
up. Those are more human-induced, you know. I mean, that is some negative energy, obviously, if you go shoot people.
Right.
That's really not exactly a positive
thing. But I think a lot of those situations, too, they're this is going to sound bad, and I mean no disrespect for anybody involved in these things, but I think a lot of times they're overreported. And I mean, when they had, say for example, the Norway thing, it was a very tragic thing, but it was on the news here in the States for several days and 24/7 nonstop, and that seems a bit excessive considering the scope of what happened. And, you know, the scope of, I mean, there's people that are, you know, get killed in Africa and other parts of the world, you know, third world countries and whatnot all the time in much more horrific ways. And we never hear about that. And, you know, we do hear about it when somebody goes to a shopping mall and kills three people. And I feel bad for the people that die.
I know. You're not dismissing or diminishing.
Right. No.
They're suffering.
But the 300 people that died in the Congo due to, you know, we're brutally murdered, raped, or whatever, you don't hear anything. So, right. You know,
I'm going to like set aside those, the human induced problems, but the natural disasters, you know, I just, it seems to me there's just a different energy than I've ever felt before. And it really disturbed me. And the energy is more blaming the victim. You know, well, you shouldn't have lived near the coast, but I didn't live near the coast. I lived 300 miles inland. What are you talking about? Well, you shouldn't live in a floodplain then. Well, I didn't live in a floodplain. I live on a hill. It flooded anyway. Well, I'm sure you're going to want us to take care of your... No, I didn't ask you for any help. I just said it flooded.
Well, I'm sure some of the people that are saying these things live in a floodplain, live on the coast, and, you know, are getting assistance from someone, you know. So.
Where can you go? There's no place you can go that you're going to be. So I guess what my point in all that is, and I am not saying that there's no one saying positive things and trying to help, believe me, but I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, those things we do, those things that are said, they do cause ripples. As I said, you just never know. I mean, you never know how what you're going to do affects the people you're doing it to or with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and down the line, I mean, the little bit I've read on Buddhism, I mean, the Buddha said something to the effect of, you know, your actions, I hate to misquote him, but the idea was your actions even affect the genes of your heirs, you know. So, and I think that's a good way to look at it. You know, when we go guns blazing, blaming everyone about everything, and I am not saying that there's no personal responsibility, don't get me wrong. If you build by the ocean where the tide comes up every day, chances are if there's a storm, you're going to get some water in your house, even if you're on stilts. I mean, I get that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying a general kindness.
Well, a lot of these people that are, you know, putting this out, and I'm not saying all of them, but a good chunk of them, you know, these are keyboard warriors. You know, the swords they wield are they're not, you know, tempered steel. They're keyboards. They're sitting at home. They're typing on their keyboards very, very ferociously. And
real life?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, they may or they may not, but either way, you know, yeah.
Scary thing to think of so much of that energy. I mean, that bothers me more than the natural disaster.
Yeah, and I think a good chunk of it is either directed or influenced, and I think the rest is just, you know, copycat sort of in a way. I mean, there's very, very popular on forums is in things like that is to troll, you know, put something out there to create a problem, you know.
But I'm even putting those aside. I understand what you're saying, and I realize that. But, you know, all this really was bothering me, and I was trying to find some sense in trying to get past how depressing that was to me. And then I read something, and once again, I am really sorry. I'm really bad about remembering who said what. But a spiritual person had written about, you know, someone had asked her why – you know, why is there all this negativity, and isn't that a horrible sign, and so forth? And I read this. She said, "Well, you know, some people are so resistant to change and so determined that they know how it's supposed to be, and they will not break out of their mold and grow and change and adapt, and you know what we're supposed to be doing right now. And so it doesn't take a little tiny." You know, tap. It takes getting whomped in the head. And it's over and over. It's like being broken down, you know, the way we've been, the way it's the status quo. You know, for instance, someone who is totally profiting from the way the world has been. The person who makes a fortune, has all he wants materially, you know, has status, has power. Why would he want to make any changes? You know, and that sometimes takes a huge, huge crisis to make someone see.
Oh. Well, true.
And then sometimes that doesn't work. So it takes three or four or five or six or seven more. Well, so that was something to think about. I don't know. You know,
I think, too, that when you try to address, you know, these people that go around, you know, saying these negative things, I think, you know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, someone told me about a different situation, trying to apply reason, logic, and maybe even spiritual logic, if that's a term, you know, I guess it is. I hope that the meaning translates to there, but through
you
that.
You just made it up if it wasn't.
I just made it up, yes. but I do believe that that these, you know, when you try to apply something, when you try to apply an actual reasonable, logical method of trying to determine why somebody does something, and you come up empty, then I think maybe sometimes it's really just that. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. It's not kind. It's not spiritually enhancing. It's just negative emotion. Just some of the stuff that humans are unfortunately really good at is just keeping themselves down and keeping others down with them, or trying to anyway. And I mean, sometimes I think it's just that. And does that affect the negative psyche? I mean, I think that the goal would be to avoid letting that get you down.
Yes, I agree. And what I do is I find that stuff and I shut it down. I just, because it's not good. It's just, it doesn't, I guess that's what I go back to what you said at the beginning. Does this add to my life or does it take away from it? If it's adding something positive, then it's good. But when you start getting overwhelmed by all that negativity, then it's just not good for you. And it doesn't move you forward to get you stuck in the back, you know, backwards. And I do think that's a thought, though. You know, maybe all this is a way to nudge us rather hard to, you know, keep moving forward and to realize that, you know, there are some important things in the world and there are a lot of things that aren't. You know, really, you know, what color our stationery is, or, you know, who has the biggest and best of this, that, or the other, those things in the long run are just not going to be important.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I mean, well, that's because those are ego-feeding things, you know. Mm-hmm. They make us feel good in the ego sense, and like I said, that can be very deceiving, but yeah, and I think when people put others down, and you know, like you said, you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't do that. I think those people, they might get some pleasure from that temporary. Mm-hmm. Of course,
it's sad though.
It's sad.
I mean, it's sad. I guess what I mean is, it is sad. I feel more sad for the person who is so clueless and so out of touch, and so lost that he or she needs to tear other people down to feel good. Because
it is
the karma in that, the negativity in that, and I by no means mean to say that everybody's like that. That is not the truth. I also see wonderful people, you know, reaching out to help, and I think that's just wonderful. And the sad part is that the negativity is by no means more, I mean, stronger than the positivity. It's just it's louder sometimes, I think.
I think it's louder most of the time, and not because of what, not because like I think negative energy is no more stronger than positive energy. I think people, I think we have this sort of program running around, and you know whether it's put there or not on purpose, I believe it was, but to embrace the negative, to encourage the negative to continue, and because as long as we're arguing with each other, as long as we are arguing with as long as we're stuck in that polar, you know, well, my side's better than your side, and my sports team can just, you know, really kick your sports team's butt. As long as we're stuck in that, and by the way, I'm not saying anything bad about sports. I'm just saying, like, as long as we get stuck in that polar paradigm,
right? Yours must not be.
Yeah, I think the longer we stay in that, the more energy we feed to the people that want to keep us in that. And really, the question should be, who would want to keep us in that? I mean, you know, not that it really matters in the long term, but the point I would make here is that if you really want to focus on that, if you really want to focus on that negative stuff, then just maybe give a little thought as to who that feeds to. And because I can promise you, I can say this with a high degree of certainty, I don't think it's going to benefit humans in general. It's benefiting something else. And do you want to participate in that? You know, I mean, that would be my question.
It's a legacy, really. I mean, people who write things like that, whether it's on a forum or a blog, their own personal blog or whatever, those things always are there forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we teach our children is there forever. They teach their children.
Absolutely.
Or else they say, well, you know what I learned from my parents today? How not to be. So, I don't know. You know, it goes one way or the other. So...
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. You know, we always have such a good time that you know we'd love to fit in more. Just don't have the time, unfortunately. But I want to remind everybody that you can catch our show BBS Radio every other Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, and we're on iTunes. Just search Well-Rounded Corners. And you can always go to wellroundedcorners.com. You can get all of our shows. All the archives are completely free.
You can comment, please.
Yes, absolutely. Comment when you on the show. Just leave us some comments. Definitely appreciate that. Also, if you like the show, give us a rating on iTunes, too. The more ratings we get, the more we're listened to. And that can only help improve the show, I think. You know, a lot of the information and interviews we have, I think the information that our guests have can really, I think people can really be useful. I know that I've definitely garnered a lot of useful information from, you know, the guests we've had on. And yes. Definitely encourage you, share it with your friends. We don't mind you copying the files. That's just fine. Just copy them and share them.
And we've got some great guests coming up over the next few shows. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're looking forward to that. And we hope that everybody has a great week.
Yes, absolutely. Have a very positive week. And thank you for joining us this evening. Until next time.